Prepare yourself for invasion. This is Indie Invasion.
That's a funny story. Anyway, all right, let's do this.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to another episode of Indie Invasion. We are glad to have you. I am joined, as always, by the amazing, the irrepressible, the wandering around in the snow delivering your Christmas packages, Eric.
I've been lucky.
You're delivering Christmas packages already.
Oh, yeah, but I've been lucky with the snow so far. I mean, I have broken out the long johns, but
as I sit here in South Carolina in my flip-flops and shorts, happily enjoying the weather. Well, first off tonight, guys, we wanted to do a shout out because we got our second patron on Patreon, and we are so super excited.
We're going to get some headphones sooner or later that fit us.
That's right. 10 years from now, we will have some nice headphones. We can tell. But we want to give a shout out to Voy. He is really active in the Drowned Earth Facebook group. Cool guy. I've talked to him on a couple different occasions, and he has backed us at an Invader First Class level. So we just wanted to say thanks to you. So thank you, sir, for helping out and
helping us create new content for all you guys to listen to or watch on the YouTubes. And if you guys are interested in also supporting us, please visit us at Patreon/IndieInvasion. And we got a couple levels that depending on what your finances are, you could help us out.
And we are working on what sort of exclusive content we're going to have on there.
We talked a little bit about doing kind of like bonus episodes. I mean, both of us, I think it's fair to say we can ramble on about just about any geek nerd culture thing. And we thought we'd, you know, put something up there, like, you know, what half hour we talked about of just us talking about, could be anything. It could be, like just today, I thought about, hey, let's just sit and talk about widgets and, you know, a little token, plastic tokens. And
does that mean we have to hit the record button every time we talk now?
Almost.
Because, you know, well, that's what we said, right? Everything is content.
Everything is content. It could be about comics. It could be about what our new favorite movie is, or, you know, anything. And we just thought something exclusive that's more or less outside of the independent market. You know, we could go more into the big games like Warhammer or
Warcry, Age of Sigmar, Battlestar Galactica, X-Wing.
Yeah. So
all those fun things. There's a lot of podcasts on that. If you guys have ideas, it'd be fun to chat. Yeah, please.
Shoot us a message.
Please let us know, because we actually will be talking about something that someone made a suggestion about today when we get to our Phantom Dice segment. But on another note, don't forget to check out Unipolar Games. You can pick up Indie Invasion coffee cups, T-shirts. I think they still have some. You got the stickers. But they do have dice trays, T-shirts, and coffee cups. You can get those and look cool like Eric does.
Yeah, I got two shirts now.
That's right. You have two shirts, Indie Invasion shirt. But on a slightly different note, we want to take a minute before we get into our laughing and having a fine old time to take a moment to talk about our friend Troy Red. Troy is the manager of Discover Games in Fayetteville, Georgia. It's a friend of ours. Discover is, strangely enough, even though Eric lives in Illinois and I live in South Carolina, Discover Games is our local gaming store. Can you even call it that?
Yeah,
it's our gaming store. Our buddy Alan owns it, and our friend Troy is the manager. And last week he passed away very suddenly. In the space of just a few hours, he went from being found collapsed to passing away. So we just wanted to take a moment to kind of recognize him in what he had done for the community. I went down to Discover Games just this past weekend, and there was a really big turnout at the store.
Yeah,
and
he was a character. But
he was definitely a character.
He did make an impression and touch a lot of people in the community.
He was a good guy. He was grumpy all the time. At least that's what everybody says. But I got to be honest, I didn't say anything when we were there for the weekend, but I don't remember him that way. For me, I don't remember him that way, because what I remember is he finally went to his very first convention. After all these years of being in the gaming community, he always used to ask Alan, why do you go to these things? Because he had a misperception of what it actually was. And his first convention that he came to was Coastal Con. And Alan told me that when they got back, he said to him, he goes, now I know why you go to those things. Those were a lot of fun. And what I remember was him seeing him enjoy himself when we went out to dinner and we went to breakfast after the convention was over. Those are the things that I remember. But we just wanted to take a minute to kind of honor him, let you guys know what had happened, and move on from there. So, Troy, this episode is dedicated to you, my friend. In all its ridiculousness and silliness and everything that it is, you would appreciate and probably tell us to be quiet, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But as far as that, that's that part of it. We just wanted to share that and get that out there. But what have you been working on, Eric? What's in our rambling? What are you working on?
So I am still trugging along with my Wild West Exodus. I am still building. You gave me a bunch of models I needed, so I'm just working on that. And I did get my Hero Forge minis. I think I posted a picture on Facebook already.
Yep.
So I've begun priming those. I do the brush on prime anymore.
That's because it's too cold up there.
Yeah, the temperature's changed. And instead of spraying that stuff in the house and making the whole house smell like a body shop, some brush on primer that Vallejo makes.
Do you know what I do down here in the warm coastal? Yeah,
you go outside and spray probably.
I do. As a matter of fact, I do.
Yeah. But I mean, not only that, but the reason I switched to that was just the fact that I was getting frustrated spending the money on those rattle cans.
Yeah.
And you spray the models and you still miss like so much of the surface of those models, like whether it was underneath or, you know, kind of hard to reach places. Yep. So with the brush on, you know, I take a pretty stiff brush that I can work that primer all deep in there and get all the surfaces. And I like the brush on primer because I can get a nice even coating
right
on the model.
So. Yeah, I like brush on primer too. I do use some spray, but I like brush on primer as well. So I actually made a horrible mistake when I went down to Discover Games. I made probably the worst mistake I've ever made in my whole gaming life.
Yeah. So this is to all you guys out there listening. To some of you may have run into this problem, but what happened,
Max? Oh my gosh, this is the worst thing I had ever done. So everybody knows that, first of all, everybody that listens to us knows that we have a problem with purchasing stuff.
Yeah.
Ooh, new shiny. However, that particular affliction, it kind of permeates our hobby anyway. Everyone is subject to it. But while I went down there to Discover, I was down there for the weekend and I was trying to help Alan out. So I was helping rearrange stuff in the store because with Troy, he was the one that was always in charge of that. Alan works a regular job and he's the owner and Troy managed it and he was there all the time. So he did all the shelves and putting product up and all this stuff. So I decided I would help out by putting stuff away. Now, when you put stuff away in a game store, you look at everything, every single thing, and you find every single thing and you go, ooh, I probably need one or two of those, or I need this. And I went through that store and
you made a mental list of stuff.
Oh my gosh, man. I was just like, can I just take this corner over here? But I will say that I had immense willpower, and actually the only thing I left with was brushes that I had previously picked up some of the stuff from Monument Hobbies, Bombwick brushes.
It's funny you see stuff like that, and as a gamer, you know, you kind of fall in love, the shiny syndrome of, that looks cool.
Yep.
And what did I just do a couple minutes before we hit record is I was showing you stuff I came across on Etsy. And you're like, oh, that's cool, but what are you going to use it for? I'm like, I don't know, but find something.
Yep. Well, I will say this though. So he has a bunch of Dark Age models down there. So if anybody out there is still looking for Dark Age stuff, Discover Games has a ton of it. Just send him a message. But I got to thumbing through the models, and I got to tell you, man, I've never played the game, never really knew much about it, but they have got some really nice looking models. Yeah. Like the kind that I need.
What desperately. Like the kind that you need. You don't know what that is, but it's like the kind
I
you don't. Need.
It's definitely like the kind I need. I'm sure I could find a role for some of those models.
Well, you always use so many of your models in different games.
Yeah.
Just by the simple fact that a lot of times you don't put them on the bases that some of these games would come with. So you put the clear Lexan bases that basically that'll, you know, cross over into any game system.
They
that
can go anywhere.
Yeah, yeah. And or a lot of times our little group likes to make up custom scenarios, you know, like rule type scenarios for different games. Like I know, was it a year ago that we did a bunch of stuff for Twisted?
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I know you had the holiday theme one that you're tweaking for this year. So
yep, I am going to have my Christmas Twisted game going down with Bad Santa and his evil elves and the Sugar Plum Fairies. But this year, they will be joined by the Gingerbread Gang as well. So things could get rather nasty.
Yeah, I actually just today saw one of my actually real local stores got a bunch of midweek releases, and they had two different boxes for War and Christmas Village.
Yeah, quick touch on that. That's something we've been chit-chatting about is War and Christmas Village. You can check them out on Facebook in their Facebook group, and you can also find a lot of their, you can find the models on Amazon, and
all their stuff I think is on Amazon for good prices too.
Good bit on eBay as well. And then the rules are actually free to download with standees from DriveThruRPG. So you can pick them up there too. Just a simple throwdown skirmish game with a Christmas crazy Christmas sort of feel to it. It always makes me think of the Weird Al song, The Night Santa Went Crazy.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
what it makes me think of.
you downloaded the rules from their, was it their Facebook or website? And that's free.
No,
too,
it was DriveThru RPG. It was from DriveThru. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one of the ones, pay what you want. So I threw a few bucks at it. That's how you support indie games. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, but you can check it out for free if you want.
Okay.
And that is all I've been doing. I did get in a game of Wings of Glory tonight against my daughter, who is 8. And for the first time, I won. I never win.
Really?
I never win. Nah, you know, I mean, I she's 8, and it's...
It must be those old man eyes. It might be. Can't judge those distances.
Well, we do one card instead of the normal pre-planning of 3 cards and stuff like that. And I give her a way better airplane than I have, but... I managed to find, that's the first time I've beaten any of my children in that game because I want them to love it. And it's actually an easy game for kids to play if you modify it a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, you're moving airplanes around. It's fun.
I'm hoping to eventually get some kind of game in soon. Usually with the holidays coming, I can manage to squeak out a couple games with just immediate family. Because my Kickstarter game pile is getting bigger because all of a sudden they're starting to show up and it's just like I gotta try this game
you gotta try some of them. That's right
Yeah,
I did get in a game of Drowned Earth last weekend. I got in a game of the Drowned Earth, which was a most excellent game. You can check out a written battle report on the Drowned Earth fan page. I think I might have posted it in the Indie Invasion page as well, but it was a good game.
Yeah, I think you did. Yeah. So if you like with pictures and stuff, so you guys want to check out his game, it was on, of course, one of the patented Mac crazy tables that's about 2 feet in the air.
Heck yeah. That's the only way to do it, man. That's the only way to do it. Well, what do you say, sir? Shall we move on to what we're going to talk about today?
Yeah, I think so, buddy.
Okay, buddy. Inside joke. You'll have to go to Patreon to find out what that means. My dear brother Busara. What? Alifan just played. That's right, guys. We're going to be talking about the artifactors for the Drowned Earth today. And I figured what better way to lead it in than a letter from Alephangus Plage, one of the new leaders coming out for the Artifactors.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting for all those players that like playing these, as they like to call them, treasure hunters, Tomb Raiders, right. Adventurers, Scavengers, and Rogues.
And as I like to call them, the second best faction in the game.
Ooh, ouch. Ouch.
We'll get to the best one. That's
send
the one
all that... complaints care of Mac at Invasion.
What can I say? I like them all. But we're going to talk about the Artifactors because, well, the Artifactors are cool. And in my mind, they are kind of the epitome of what the Drowned Earth is about.
This was one of the original factions that came with the Kickstarter, right?
That is correct. The Artifactors and the Firm. And we may actually have a very special treat tonight, folks. I think Eric may finally take the cellophane
my cards that I have out of the box that the original Kickstarter came in, because I didn't need them. I was still working on the models. Well, these guys I painted months ago. It was like back in the winter.
Yep, I remember.
But yes, I brought the book upstairs, Mac. Look, it's all shiny and new. Nice. Are you gonna make me bust this open so it's not mint anymore?
Yeah, you need to bust that bad boy open or buy another one.
You know why I want to bust it open?
Because you want to smell that new book smell.
I
want
to smell that new book smell. Good thing my wife's not here to look at me like I'm some kind of weirdo or something.
She'll look at you like you're weird anyway. So anyway, on to the Artifactors as Eric digs into his new book. You hear those lovely sounds. There it is. Cracking the book open. So the Artifactors are a super cool faction. They are basically, like Eric said, they're your treasure hunters, your tomb robbers. They are, if you really want to find out a lot of the fluff that's going on, you can check out some of the stories that we already have on the podcast channel. And as I sit here looking at Eric sniffing his book,
smells like
a book. It's like a book.
Like an ink factory.
So you can check that out for some of the fluff. So we're not going to get too much into that fluff. What we're going to do is talk about the faction itself. Now, we discovered a while ago that, to us anyway, it doesn't seem like talking mechanics kind of loses something in the translation on just a podcast. That's something we'd rather do in a video.
Well, we're not really a how-to podcast. If you have questions about mechanics, by all means feel free to reach out to us, and you know, we can talk off show, but
we'll direct you to someone that can answer your question. Answer your question well, because there is an element of the Drowned Earth that is competitive, and I cannot help you with that.
We'll send
element
them all to Sean, right?
Yeah, we'll send them to Sean. That's right. If you want painting tips, we'll send you to Bryce, because he likes to paint dinosaurs, a lot of them. Anyway, so diving into the core box. The core box is, so as you would expect in most skirmish games, you'll see there's going to be a starter box. And this particular starter box for the Artifactors comes with five people. Comes with Nyx, Ana, Corian, Sage, and this is the one I'm probably going to get wrong. James, if you're listening, just send me the pronunciation guide. Slesk. There's lots of S's and consonants in that name.
Yeah, a lot of S's in there, and probably
one vowel.
and it's probably silent. So
right, one and one vowel. So those are your core characters. We're going to talk a little bit about each of them. Anybody in particular that jumps out at you that you want to talk about there, Mr. Huffman Worldwide?
Backwards and work up to the leader, or do we start with the boss?
Surprise me.
Why don't we start backwards and get the one that you love saying out of the way?
Slesk. Actually, I love using Slesk when I play the Artifactors, because normally I'm a Firm guy, so I like playing the Firm. But so Slesk is your scout in the game, and basically what that means is he gets to deploy stealth. That's the biggest essential thing. So he is one of the reptilian races. And again, the reason I'm not giving away some of those details is because I want you to listen to the stories. That's where all the fluff is. But in typical the Drowned Earth fashion, or I guess I should say in typical Olmec Games faction, which is James's company that created the game, the miniature for Slesk is just stunning. He's an awesome model. He's great on the table.
Yeah.
It's pretty standard, like the wounds for everybody. And this is kind of across the board in the game. For the most part, everybody has four wounds for the most part. Your toughs usually have five. Some of the smaller guys might have three, but generally speaking, you're talking about four wounds. Now, Slesk does have a last name, and I'm not even going to go there. it is in the book, and I'm going to do in the coming weeks, I'll do some audio stories about the backgrounds of all of these really, really cool characters. But his basic backstory is that he always loved digging through the ruins, even as a hatchling. So that's kind of his story. He's I just can't say enough about everything about the game. I mean, I know I sound like I'm always fawning when we talk about the Drowned Earth, but the card artwork, the models themselves, the mechanics, they're just
awesome. A lot of these characters in these models have a specific, I guess, job.
Yes.
You could say in the game, like for your group that you put together and play with. And I remember one of my early games, it was actually with Sean, and he was my MVP. And a lot of it was because of his abilities, his stealth abilities to avoid, you know, taking shots, and he can kind of
see
easier and hide. And he was really good at climbing up this tower to get, I forgot what the objective was, but
one of the great things about him is he is one of only a few. I believe he may be the only one that can actually re-stealth. So basically, when you stealth, once you perform something, take a shot at somebody, attack somebody, something like that, obviously you lose your stealth. Well, if he can get out of line of sight of everybody, he can re-stealth. Most people can't do that. Once your stealth is gone, your stealth is gone. That's it. The coolest thing about the Artifactors faction is they're fast and they're nimble. Now, because of the way I set up my tables, as Eric likes to point out, 3.5 feet above the tabletop, is they're awesome for that kind of a table because they're so nimble. They're so quick getting across the board. And of course, naturally they sacrifice a little bit of armor and overall toughness to do that, but they're so quick. And I personally think that in the starter box for the Artifactors, I think that Nyx has the coolest leader ability card. So they all the leaders come with a leader ability card that they add to what your group can do. And I love the fire arrows just because shooting fire arrows through a dinosaur infested jungle at Kaneda just makes me happy. It just makes me happy. I mean, shooting anything at Kaneda makes me happy, but shooting flaming arrows at him through a dinosaur filled jungle just makes me happy. I'm sorry. It just does. I'm sorry. That's just how it is. So yeah, he's the scout. That's his main role. And then we move on to, I'm going to save that one.
All right.
Then we move on to Anna, who is our mech. What have you, do you remember your game that you played her with? What you thought about her?
I don't remember much about her. I think she was kind of being a support type of model. She was kind of hanging around. I kept her hanging around Nyx, you know, the leader. So just in case, because you never know. I think I used the big ape and, you know, Nyx to really kind of run distraction. And then, my little sneaky lizard.
Go ahead. Say his name. just kind of drool a little bit out of the corner of your mouth, and that's how you do it.
But then, that way I was able to use him. You know, people just forgot about him, couldn't get to him to, you know, achieve the objective for the game.
Well, I will tell you this, this other thing about the Artifactors, because this is the thing that jumps out for Anna for me, because it's the most obvious on her of my models. I don't know if this is on purpose or not, but I swear it looks like every member of the Artifactors, except for Sage, because he's a giant monkey man and he doesn't have shoes on. But, well, neither does Slesk. But the three humans, I'm telling you, man, they got Chuck Taylors on. They're wearing Converse. Exactly what it looks like. So I painted,
archaeologists.
That's right. So I painted all of mine like they got Chuck Taylors on. So I don't care. But okay, so I'm going to tell you what my problem with Anna is. And it's the same problem I have with every model that is a mech. Whenever I need the mech, so basically within the confines of the game, if you roll a blunder. And again, we're not going to go over rules. You have to check out the rule book, and you can download the rules section for free from the website. No fluff, but you can get the rules. So if you basically fail, you may, or not fail, but you fumble your roll with, say, your gun, it's broken. Bad, bad thing, right? It inevitably happens to me with my sniper every game. But the problem is your mech can fix the gun. My problem is my mech is always on the opposite side of the board when it happens. So it's like, well, you're not a good mech. And I have never had my mech's gun break. Ever. Ever. Never. Because that would work for me. You know, then they could fix their gun. But that's not what happens. It's always the person that is absolutely the farthest away from my mech that that happens to. So next up, we have Corian. Corian Quaid. He was actually on his history, just to give you a touch of it. He was born to a wealthy family, and his mother is a master physician, and his father is an academic conducting research on pre-event medical texts. So he is your medic in the group, and he's a cool model. Mine actually has a story, and I'm going to share with you the story of my Corian. My Corian was severely injured in a game. It was a horrible, horrible injury. The injury happened at a convention, and he lost his left arm. And I don't know what happened to it. It fell off somewhere at the convention. So my Corian no longer has a bullpup machine gun, because the only arm that I could find that looked halfway decent on it was an old Dark Eldar arm with a big old knife. So now my Corian has a big old knife instead of his bullpup. But that's basically what he is. He's your medic, and as you would expect, he can get up close to whoever is wounded, and he can potentially give them wounds back, and potentially, if he fails it, he can mess them up too. So that's not always such a good thing. Again, going to have lots of story time with all of this stuff. We're going to go through and we're going to read all of the background stuff, but we're going to make you listen to another episode to do it. That's how we roll. That's how we roll. Next up, we have our tough. You, why don't you take that one? Introduce us to who the tough is.
So there, this Mr. was one Eric. Of the models that attracted me to the game, and is Sage. And Sage is the big monkey in the group.
He is not a monkey. He is a gorilla.
Okay, he's a gorilla. That's right. He doesn't have a tail. I would end up in a net right now, but you know, I'm being poked at by a
orangutan. Yeah, he would. That's right. That's right. You would. Dr. Zayas would be having a conversation with you. We might be showing our age a little bit with some of those comments,
but he's your tough. I remember him doing a lot of the heavy lifting for me. I think the game I was fighting the firm. Mm-hmm. So it ended up being gorilla on gorilla type match. Yeah. And with the mechanics in this game, they were climbing up on stuff and jumping down on the other one.
And Sage is what you would typically expect of a tough. I mean, he's good in close combat. That's where he shines. And as Barangi, the gorilla men, they all climb really well, unless you're me. In which case I can make sure that my gorilla does not climb by rolling poorly all the time. But same thing for me about what attracted me. It was the Sage miniature. Of every other model, it was Sage, because it's like this perfect blending of what is potentially this immensely violent gorilla man who's got a huge pickaxe that, you know, he can bury it so deep in your body that there's no coming back from it. And, but that's not him. The model is standing there with the lizard on his hand, and he's contemplating this itty bitty lizard, almost like he's appreciating it and showing this gentleness to him. It's the model itself is very evocative. I mean, it evokes all kinds of different feelings, and it conveys a lot of really cool stuff. Like I said, he's huge, he's buff, he's got the little tiny lizard. It's a really cool combination in the model. And I will say this. So on my Sage, when I was painting him, my grandfather had just recently passed away when I was painting him. My grandfather always used to wear rainbow suspenders. I mean, he had them since I was a little kid. I remember him forever. So my sage, because, you know, your grandpa, your grandpas are always these larger than life guys, World War II vet, all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? They're larger than life. Well, Sage has suspenders on. So Sage is wearing rainbow suspenders in honor of my grandfather. So there you go.
Yeah, he's one of those neat models in the game that he can do a lot of re-rolling of certain type of actions that he does.
Yeah.
Which makes him a really interesting model to play with. That you can do a lot of these, like we mentioned before, very cinematic type things in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he just has that kind of, and it goes with his character, with some of the story and the fluff. He like you said, he seems very peaceful, but he's got a lot of power behind him, all in just kind of his stance and the fact that he's a gorilla. He's gonna, you know, if you tell him to strip a car, he's gonna strip the car easy.
You know what? It just made me think of something. So a lot of people, some of the people that listen might know that I'm a pastor, but it made me think, and I say that because when else do you ever hear somebody use the word meek, right? Except at like church. But he reminds me of the definition of that word. Meekness is power under control. That's the description of Sage. That's a really good
description. That is something like that. Yeah.
To me, that's what Sage is. He is power under control. He can pull your head off, but he would rather look at this lizard and show it to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So then we have Nyx, the leader. This is your Indiana Jones of the group right here. Nyx Schliemann. She knew she was going to be an artifactor from the moment her feet hit the floor. And she is a cool model. She has really good stats.
Mm-hmm.
So in my opinion, because of the way that I roll, this is probably one of the reasons that I love the artifactors, because I can break a weapon in every single game, every single time I play. It's a gift I have. I can, it's called a blunder, not a fumble in the Drowned Earth, but I can blunder a roll and break my weapon every single game. But she has this special rule for her weapon because she uses a bow, and it's called primitive. That means she doesn't need her mech to fix her weapon. She can take care of it herself. Yeah. So that is definite. That's a definite win in my book for her.
Yeah. And just the fact that she's like your typical ranged model, that she can, you know, be far away and just be pumping you in the butt with all these arrows. Yep. I love that. And that's what I did with her is, you know, I'd get her behind some cover and just bing, 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 you know, start throwing arrows at somebody.
She's a great model too. Now, of course, so that's the starter box that you can buy, but currently the release schedule has been pretty regular for a couple models at a time.
Mm-hmm,
The other one that came out with the Kickstarter though is Mounted Nyx, and she is mounted on a Utahraptor, and again, beautiful sculpt. And if you really love the dinosaurs, and I'm going to be honest, I have not played a mounted character yet in a game. And the reason is because I love the cinematic movement, especially with the tables that I build, of being able to jump across these chasms between buildings. Yeah, swinging from
while you're doing this stuff.
Swimming in these underwater paths on the board. All of that stuff. I love being able to do that stuff. Part of the reason I haven't used a lot of dinosaurs either is I'm enthralled with the dynamic movement. But the Mounted Nyx is a gorgeous model. I actually just finished painting mine because I was terrified to start painting it again because I had to match the colors on my Nyx that I had painted like 4 years ago. And all I could think was, do I even have those colors anymore?
And
turns out I did. So it turned out good. But they actually have, the artifactors have two additional members of the artifactors crew that have been added over the course of time. And the first one is Ando. And Ando is a support character. He's another scout. And I'm sorry, I got hung up there on Ando because my son's name is Fernando and we call him Nando. And I'm like, he should have had an N on his name. Then I could have had my kid on the table. That's cool. Anyway, I got a little wrapped up in that, but his name is Ando. My son's name is Nando. But he's most definitely a support character. Now, he's actually a pretty good fighter in close combat as far as that goes. He's better than a fair number of the rest of the artifactors. Actually, thumbing through, he's better than all of the other artifactors in close combat, except for Mounted Nyx. And he is I might be saying this wrong. I don't think I am, but the Dvergue, which are basically, for those that don't know the Drowned Earth, if you're to give them a description, they're dwarf-like. That's kind of the physical description of them. And so, you know, they're that stocky, tough, and stubborn kind of archetype. So that's what they are. But his model is so cool. He's smoking a big old fat cigar with his big giant grappling gun and his Indiana Jones hat on. I mean, come on. That's just cool. But that's the first time as I was sitting here talking about the card that it dawned on me. I've looked at the card a million times. This is the first time it dawned on me. Dang, he's pretty good in close combat. I was like,
I'm just looking at his little fluff that he has. And I love the last sentence of his whole, you know, summary, his description.
Give it to us.
So others call him brave, but for him, risking life and limb, swinging from a grappling hook to take out the jugular of a huge predator is all in a day's work. I love that. That just kind of, that describes his personality right there. It's just like, oh, it's nothing.
Yeah, he's kind of, looking at him, he's kind of several movie characters all balled up into one to me. He has like a little bit of Sean Connery, a little bit of Indiana Jones.
You know who I see is,
who do you see?
He's one of our favorite characters, both of ours. Let's see if you know who I'm talking about.
Who do you see? No, I'm drawing a blank.
What does old Jack Burton say?
Of course.
He's a Jack Burton.
Who's Jack Burton? All right, we're showing our age again. Talking Planet of the Apes and Big Trouble in Little China.
Man,
who's Jack Burton? All right. Wow, this one's woo. That's a good one, buddy.
All right, buddy.
All right. Next up, we have the last release for the artifactors, and I'm probably going to mess this name up too, because this is again one of the reptilians, and his name is Kahua. Now, he actually has three vowels, trying to make up for only having one.
I think that's how I would have said it too.
Yeah. Well, James, feel free to comment as much as you would like, either on the Facebook post of the podcast or the Podbean one about how much we butchered the name. Feel free to do that. But he actually does not have a character type like the others do. So you have your scout, your medic, your mech. He doesn't actually have one. And he is one of those few models that only has three wounds. So he is a little bit on the squishy side when it comes to survivability. But he also has he's got a tranquilizer rifle. But the thing about the Drowned Earth is most of the weapon ranges aren't real far. They're a lot shorter. There's going to be somebody in every group that has a good gun. Mm-hmm. Vink in the firm, Hove for the militia. I don't think anybody in the bondsman has any kind of long range. And then Kahua has up to a 20 inch range with his gun. The thing about having that kind of range is if you've got your Drowned Earth table set up right, it's tough to get a shot that far away.
Yeah, so that could really negate a sniper for you if you have somebody that has that range.
It does, and that's one of the reasons when I build my tables, that we should do a talk about the table build too later after we talk through the factions. But that's one of the reasons I build my tables up, because then you have all this real heavy, dense terrain on the bottom that mitigates your sniper taking, basically just cleaning house on everybody.
Yeah.
But it's like if you come above the treetops and it starts thinning out a little bit and the sniper's up there, he's going to start picking you off left and right. So I always make sure we have objectives up high, at least a couple of them, so that you have to go after them.
That's the neat thing about this game, is that there's so much vertical things that you have to think about too.
That was what blew me away for the first Kickstarter when I backed it. I was pretty early in the backing, I think, on the first Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what backer I was, but I stumbled on it fairly early. And as I was going through it, and all I could think to myself in the descriptions was that it was going up.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, man, I've been building terrain for years and I build stuff up, but
not like that.
But no, even a third floor, you know, say you build a third floor on a building, nobody ever goes up there.
Yeah.
Nobody ever goes up there. Now I'm building stuff that's 2.5 feet up off the table and you can get up there.
Yeah.
And it's not unheard of. You get a couple of feats in a row, which for those of you who aren't familiar with the rules, go download the rule book. But basically what that is it's a special roll that you end up making, kind of like if you rolled a natural 20, that's about the best parallel I can make. It's basically like the perfect roll. And if you get it, you essentially get another action. So you can, if you get lucky and chain those together, you can cover a whole lot of ground in a single activation. It's pretty cool. But that is the entire faction of the Artifactors. And next time, who are we going to talk about, Eric?
Well, did we talk about the new leader? I can't remember.
Oh, no, we did not. Alephandus Plage. We did not. He is releasing December 15th. So we have 6 days left.
Okay.
And he is basically a giant panda bear with an exosuit. He is Kung Fu Panda.
Do you need to say more?
I don't know. I mean, can you just like leave it right there, right?
I mean, since it's not out yet, we don't know, you know, the stats yet to exactly really know how he fights and stuff. But I think from what I'm getting is that where Nyx is your kind of your ranged person, and he's in an exosuit, I think he's going to be the leader that likes to take things into his own hands.
Yeah, I think he might be. He's a really gorgeous model. You can check him out on the Drowned Earth website. You can also check out, we already did a little fluff on the new leaders coming out. So
yeah,
there's a little bit of fluff up on the podcast already, and you can check that out. But Alephandus Plage is the next one that is coming out. And that wraps up the Artifactors. Who are we talking about next time?
So next time, I think we're going to dive into the other group that came with the original Kickstarter, and that is the Firm. So we're talking some of the criminal aspect in the world.
The criminal aspect. All right, ready? Scooby-Doo fade. Good job, buddy.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
All right, buddy. Hey, buddy. What are you doing, buddy?
All right. Welcome to Phantom Dice, where you will get news and what to look out for from beyond. All right.
This is where we talk about a game that we have stumbled on or have played.
It's our new hotness.
New hotness. The new hotness. This isn't really new hotness. It's not old. But it's newer, and actually they did just finish up a Kickstarter as well for some more stuff for the game. But I wanted to talk about Battle Systems game, Core Space.
Okay.
So for those of you who haven't heard about Core Space, it is a sci-fi miniatures game, and I'm going to read the blurb for you on the back of the book. And if you haven't listened to any of our stories on here, this is how they sound, because I'm going to read it for you in the reading voice, so that you get the full effect. So here it is. This is just a little blurb on the back.
Hit me.
It's all coming apart. The 1,000-year galactic accord is crumbling. Superstition and fear is replacing science and reason. Governments are becoming increasingly draconian. A mysterious alien species is burning entire worlds, and the black hole in the galactic heart is making worrying noises. Amidst this bedlam are the traitors, trying to scrape together a living with nothing but their wits and a simple credo to follow. Salvage, trade, adapt, survive. There you go. That's it. Okay, so that's what the audio stories sound like. But that's what Core Space is from Battle Systems, which is, if you're not familiar with them, they're tabletop games and terrain company out of the UK. They make really cool terrain. It's card stock terrain, and it has these cool little clips to basically build whatever you want with it. Mm-hmm. But that's not what attracted me to the game, Core Space. It is hands down, of course, everybody that listens to us probably knew I was going to say this. It is heavily narrative based.
Mm-hmm.
Heavily. It is designed. It's technically, they call it a board game. But to me, it's much more than that. It's very much a campaign game. It's got really great miniatures in that cool mini or not style of minis.
Yeah,
in that they're plastic.
They say board game in the sense of, I would compare it to like Zombicide, right?
Yeah, yeah. But it has much more depth than Zombicide.
Okay.
To me, and don't mishear me at all. I love playing Zombicide. It is a great beer and pretzels kind of game, laughing and yucking it up while you're playing that game. This one I feel has a fair bit more depth in how your characters can develop, because you're essentially, you've got your crew. I mean, let's just give the honest nod where the honest nod needs to go. You've got your Firefly crew, basically, you know, sci-fi Firefly from the Serenity. That's kind of the thing, the salvage, trade, adapt, all that's going on. It's got these super cool dashboards for your characters that you put your character card in there. It's got a slot for your weapon cards. It's got the little pegs. It's just really cool. It's got an AI threat tracker, so that as you go, it progressively, the threat tracker moves up, and the higher the threat becomes, the more likely the robot dudes are called the Purge, the more likely they are to show up and start slapping you around really badly. The minis, man, there's a ton of minis. So I backed the original Kickstarter at the Titan Pledge level, which was everything. So I backed it at the Titan Pledge level, and I got a massive ton of minis. And since then, they have released box set crews of different characters, which are just, they did go to resin. So that part had changed. They went to resin for the additional crews. I'm not sure what they did on the Kickstarter this time around. I am probably going to get something from that Kickstarter, like, you know, everything, but that's a whole nother story right there that I'll just get everything, because once again, going back to our good friends at Discover Games, he got a couple of the retailer pledges so that he can sell in the store. So okay. I'll probably pick my stuff up from him. I did just help while I was down there. I put some new Core Space stuff on the shelf, and it was very difficult to put it on the shelf and not on the counter where the cash register was for me to just check out with the new Yamato crew and a couple of the other ones that are just really cool. So it's a very neat game. I am going to say one thing, and this is purely personal preference. I want to say that first. So the cardstock terrain is very cool. I encourage you guys, if you're listening, to go and check out the Core Space Universe Facebook group, because you'll see tons of pictures of table setups, and the stuff is amazingly cool. But for me, it doesn't immerse me enough in it. It might sound crazy to people that play it, but that's just my personal preference. I'm not busting on it in any way, shape, or form. It's just that I play Core Space on a different table. I play it more like on a typical skirmish table that you would set up, and I just set it up like that. It's nothing against the terrain. I think it's super cool. It's just not for me. That's just my kick, you know. But I can't recommend it highly enough. I know that sounds weird, but even though I don't personally care for it, it's excellent quality. It's got great artwork on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a win-win, especially for people that maybe don't have a bunch of space. The truth is, I have the space to keep a 2x2 board built that looks like that. You know what I mean? But if you don't have the space, it all breaks down flat. You can flat pack it in right back into the box. It's super easy. It looks cool. Just not for me. I think you would like it. I do think you would like it. It's definitely some cool stuff. So that's kind of Core Space in a nutshell without getting in. It's a bunch of missions too. They just released a new book, a whole bunch of new crews, more bad guys, just all kinds of cool stuff. At the very least, you got to check out the game. The rule book is extremely well done. Hardcover, glossy pages, very well put together. And the guys at Battle System are active in the Facebook group, which is always a plus when you can throw questions out there. So that, ladies and gentlemen, is Core Space. Go check it out. We will. I'm going to make a note right here on my paper that I will put a link up in the description to Core Space, the group, and to Battle Systems, so you guys can go check that out. Can't recommend it enough to go check it out. You will, I think, if you like any, if you like Firefly, if you like any of that sci-fi kind of genre, The Mandalorian. Oh, left out an important point. You can build your own crew, so you can bring your own minis.
Yeah.
Always a plus in my book.
Yep. Yep. There's a lot of choices in that game of what you want to do.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of the guys in the Facebook group, there are a bunch of people that have already done it. People with way better Photoshop and editing skills than I will ever have that have done official looking cards of things like Jedi's, stormtroopers, right, and all that kind of stuff, all kinds of stuff. It's crazy how much stuff is already in there. So check that out. You will not be disappointed. And with that, I will close out the Phantom Dice section with Core Space.
Old classic flashback.
So what do you have, Eric, for our flashback? Since you, I, as I understood it, you wanted to show your age with this one, right?
Yeah, I wanted to go back a little bit of some stomping ground times of college days when you could go to Target and get something to entertain your weekends with. So what I wanted to talk about was a Star Wars game. And this is the, I think it's one of the first Star Wars card games that I can remember. And this is the Custom-Ball card game that was originally put out in 1995 by Decipher. So I know there's a lot of people in the community. I mean, there's a lot of Star Wars card games now. You think about, there was the Living Card Game. There was the trading card game, which I believe is what this eventually turned into. And then we had, what was the other one? Destiny. But that included like dice. You're rolling dice in that one. I think
that's still kicking a little bit, isn't it? That's still kicking around. Still
going a little bit. I know they've had issues with the supply and demand. I think from the time that game came out, they had issues with supply and demand because it was, you know, people just wanted it all and they wanted it now. But
if you're a Destiny player, Discover Games has a few things. I know I put it on the shelf.
But this I want to talk about was one of the first times. This was kind of like early in my days of getting into the hobby aspect of gaming. And I remember I found the two player starter deck that Decipher put out in 95, and through all the 90s into 01, they basically released expansions like that spanned all of the movies up through Phantom Menace, basically. So, and it's your basic trading card game deck builder, where you're building a deck, and it had the strategy of what cards you play. Let's see. And it basically, the whole point of the game is it was an odd, for its time, it was different, where one player played a light side deck and the other player played a dark side deck. And the whole point, your objective was basically to force your opponent to discard all of their life force, which was determined by certain cards that you had in your deck.
Right.
And, you know, you had your typical name cards, your heroes, your villains, and you could, through combos, you know, pull shenanigans with their special abilities and make people get rid of those cards. One of the other neat features they had is they had something called Destiny Draws, which represented the elements of chance or luck.
Or the force.
There you go. The force. So that's basically what it was representing. And each card had a number on it that they called the destiny number, that was from 0 to 7. the only type of card that didn't have them were locations. And rather than using dice to generate these random numbers, the players would draw destiny from the top of their deck, revealing the top card and using that number as the result. So it was used for stuff like determining weapon hits or mandatory loss to a character, passing a Jedi test, stuff like that. So it had a lot of different, unique, never before seen card mechanics for a card like deck building game.
I can't even begin to imagine how many times the phrase "the force is strong" with this one must have been said in that game.
And I think, see, this came out at the time when Magic was fairly new too, and a lot of times this was like the rival for Magic at that time. There was many times when they had releases of the expansions was actually doing better than Magic at that time.
Oh wow.
Now, eventually they did run its course, and Lucas Arts did not want to, you know, renew the rights to make this game. They actually gave it to, I think it was Wizards of the Coast.
Oh, which, no.
Yeah, Wizards of the Coast made the trading card game instead of the CG. Gotcha. So they changed some of the mechanics. It actually did not do as well game-wise, but I mean, you had the fans. They still got it because they loved Star Wars. And for at this time, like I said, this was an early hobby, you know, game. I'm trying to think back hobby games back then. It was before the board market kind of blew up. We had Warhammer then.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Other than that, there really wasn't a whole lot of your hobby type games. It wasn't to the late 90s, early 2000s that we started to see the hobby aspect kind of blow up, like with Catan and stuff.
Yeah, the market definitely wasn't what it is now. You couldn't buy the board games in Walmart and Target like you can now.
But I think there are still a lot of player groups that actually still create kind of your online cards that you can print out and play with at home and different groups that you may have at the store. So this game still has a very strong fan base to it, and there's still a lot of this product out on the market if you hit eBay and stuff like that. And shoot, I still have my two-player box set that I got at Target back.
Everyone knew you still had yours. Yeah, I got everything. Everyone knew.
I still got, because, well, in the 90s, that's when that was the new game concept,
right?
Was that collectible card game. I remember seeing Austin Powers trading card game. I don't know how it played, but you know, they had that. We had Aliens,
right?
Predator. This was the time that everything was a trading card game, and this was one of the first ones out there. So I think that's a big part of why, and you know, combined with those unique game mechanics, that's why people still love it and remember it today.
And it's Star Wars, and the reality is people love Star Wars. And for all you Star Wars people, I'm just going to say one thing, and I'm going to trigger you: Star Trek.
Ooh! You see me clench up as soon as you said that,
and then I'm going to blow everybody's mind. Are you ready? You can love both of them.
You got to love one more than the other.
You can love both of them. It's okay. It's okay. I promise you can love them both.
Oh man! Oh man! Oh man!
Well, that's cool.
That discussion.
Oh yeah, that might be a whole nother episode there.
But all I have episode.
All I have to say is this: you can love them both. It's okay. It's okay.
But yeah, that is my flashback game. You know, if you guys played that, let us know what you think. I only played it for that first set that came out, because then I became a poor college graduate and I couldn't afford nothing.
So. Yeah, I didn't play a lot of the card games. I played Magic when it very first came out, and it was all right.
I wish I had some of those cards still.
Right, I wish I had all of those cards still, but it just didn't appeal to me. It was a cool enough game, cool mechanic and all that kind of stuff, but it just wasn't. It had no little tiny plastic men, so it wasn't for me. The only card game I do still play sometimes is a game called Hull Breach, but we can talk about that another time. And I got I got lots of them. So moving on to
news.
That's pretty good. I don't have to put a sound bite in there.
Well, in our typical news, we will always, as always, refer you to our good buddy Jim of the Tabletop Engineer, his Bexham's Bazaar magazine, which is a monthly publication of gaming goodies. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of stuff from Fat Dragon Games for you RPG folks out there who want to check out some paper craft buildings for your RPG setups when you're running in a game. You can easily use the Fat Dragon stuff for your skirmish games as well. A lot, it's all fantasy stuff, so would work real well for Warcry or Relic Blade or Free Blades, any of those kind of games it would work great for. And also the other one, which is kind of a cruel magazine, really, if you think about it, it's the RPG and War Game Supply source book. And yeah, the reason I say
Christmas
it's a
catalog.
Oh gosh. The reason I say it's a cruel catalog is because it's a purely digital catalog, but Jim has done you the favor of putting links on every single page. So when you see that gorgeous miniature or that gorgeous STL file or that gorgeous piece of terrain, all you have to do is click on the picture and it will take you right to the website where you can buy it. So it's an awesome magazine. I encourage you to check it out. If you are an indie developer who doesn't already have an ad in the magazine, check it out. You can get your ad put in there. You can get in touch with him. You can find a link. I'll throw a link up in the description on this video of that so that you can follow that link there. And isn't there a convention coming up soon there, Eric?
Well, yes, there is. Come February 26th through the 27th, 2021, we have Coastal Con in your stomping grounds. So if you guys are looking for what possibly could be the first convention of 2021, it could be Coastal Con in nice tropical, sunny February weather, right?
Not quite tropical, but it does get, I mean, it gets a little chilly at night, but it's pretty nice during the day. But to letting people know about the cons, there is Siege of Augusta also down here in Augusta, Georgia, which is in January. It is, I don't have the exact date. It's always the weekend of Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah.
And so that's when that one always is, and it will be kicking off. I am currently on the schedule to run some games, but I am not sure I'm going to be able to make that one as I spool up to get prepared for Coastal Con.
Yeah, so I'm hoping we can get back to our regular con life in the next year. I mean, we just this past week got the announcement that, and we kind of knew this was going to happen because things usually start rolling in November, but Adepticon did go ahead and cancel theirs.
Yeah.
So go to Coastal Con. Right.
Go to Coastal Con. That's right. Go to Coastal Con. And right now,
vacation.
That's right. Right now. And it's a great place if your wife doesn't want to go to the con with you, because we are a tourist town and there's lots of cool stuff to do. But right now we've got a ton of games on the list. We've got Frostgrave, Gaslands, Stargrave, Caverns, Crypts and Catacombs, which is a game written by a semi-local guy. He's in the area. And it's really cool. It was actually quite a hit last year at Coastal Con. And he has some gorgeous terrain, dungeon and cavern terrain, and some really beautiful models to play with as well. We'll also have Relic Blade, Zone Raiders, and Gamma Wolves. Gamma Wolves is the new one from Ash Barker, Guerrilla Miniatures Games. That's the new one from him. We'll also have a Star Wars RPG going on Friday evening. We have Muskets and Tomahawks going on, which is a really cool historical game. We've got Twisted, The Drowned Earth. We're going to have some Pulp Alley going on. We're going to have Free Blades and Bright Sword. And for those of you that don't know what Bright Sword is, it is the RPG element of Free Blades.
Okay.
So lots of really cool stuff going on. And that's really just the beginning.
Yeah. If you guys, and I saw somebody actually posted a question to you in Facebook just the other day about if you're interested in running something or have questions about running a game, reach out to Mac on Facebook. I know some people were asking about stuff, and you have forms for people to fill out, like listed
on
the page.
I do. They are under the documents, or not documents, the announcements tab on the Facebook group. So you can pop right in there and you can fill that out, or you can just message me too as, and send me the information that is on the form. It doesn't really matter as long as you get me the information. We may even possibly, the gentleman that contacted me today was asking about Age of Sigmar, which I am totally cool with. He wanted to have a tournament, and I got to be honest, I was a little disappointed that I had to say no.
Yeah.
Just because he was talking about 7 tables and 14 people, and I'm like, man, that's great. That's awesome. Really good. Yeah, but as things start to pan out and we can go back to a larger venue, I already have a couple of people potentially lined up to run some tournaments. So maybe in the summer, because since we had to downsize, we are looking at doing a summer coastal con as well as a winter coastal con.
Yeah.
So if we do 2 of them and we are able to get more people and get that larger venue, because the COVID stuff has panned out a little bit more, we potentially will have a Bolt Action tournament, a Blood Red Skies tournament, a 40K tournament, and an Age of Sigmar tournament.
Yeah.
And that would be absolutely, man, that would be awesome. I would love to be able to host that. That would be amazing. So I don't even know what else to say. That's awesome. the potential for that is just awesome, to introduce a lot of those mainstream game players to some other more unique stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And let them suck some people in too.
I got one more little news item. It's along the lines of RPG, and it's kind of my new, I guess, more recent addiction.
No.
to just books, RPG books in general.
Oh, yeah.
And I came across a book that's made by this company. It is Cobalt Press. Now, Cobalt Press, our buddy Jim, is actually the first time I heard of stuff, because he got one of their monster books that had, you know, original monsters that you could use in your RPGs, whether as D&D, Pathfinder, or whatever. Well, they have a new Kickstarter online right now that's called Southlands, and you can use it in 5th edition. And what Southlands is it's basically, it's a setting under the pitless sun, they say. It's kind of like, you think of, oh, it brings in kind of like your Egyptian themes, your North African themes, a little bit of your Arabian Nights type of stuff.
Okay, cool.
So they got like the actual gods that are walking around. I think it's Basset is what it is. And so there's a lot of like little hints of like myths and legends from our world in here. They have floating palaces in the sky, but what I found that's neat from I got the Underworlds set that they create, which is all your ghouls and undead. You can create characters like classes through this system for your D&D and all that are like this new Southland has something called Djinnborn. So they're basically,
I'm sorry, my mind probably did not go to the right place there. All I could think when you said Djinnborn is like, hey,
not that kind of djinn, but okay. I mean, this is a race that basically is a descendant where one parent's human, the other parent is genie, you know, and then they have, you could be crocodile creatures, or, you know, you could be cat people. And it's just interesting that the stuff they have in this that you can take bits and pieces to use in your current campaigns, or if you're making campaigns.
Right.
And this Kickstarter is actually going for 22 days still. And what the Kickstarter is for, it's for 4 books, all kind of centered around this Southlands area in their world of it's Midgard, which kind of the whole world or realm, I guess you would call it, is centered around like Eastern Europe type legends. So it's a little bit different than your traditional high fantasy. And you get a world book, you get, I think it's 2 like story campaign books, you get a player book that kind of goes into these different races and right. different classes and, you know, magic items that you could, you know, play with. So, and I think on average, their average pledge, if you want to get everything, like an actual print book and PDFs, is like $100.
It's not bad.
Yeah, that's about average. You're getting four books, and I think they have like an unlock special book that I don't know if it's maps or
That's actually pretty adventure. Good because anymore paying $45-$50 for any kind of a rule book for just about any game. So that's not too bad.
So if that sounds interesting, go check it out. You can read more about Southlands and more about Midgard from Kobold Press. Like I said, they have just under a month left, so you got plenty of time to check it out and decide if you're an RPG player. If you don't really want to play exclusively in that world, well, it's resource. It's another resource that you can take bits and pieces from. So that's the last news item I have for today. I think we've rambled on pretty good today, right?
Ramble on. Yeah, man. Well, don't forget, guys, you can always, if you have questions, comments, or suggestions, or just general chit-chat you want to send our way, you can always get us at indieinvasion@gmail.com. You can always hit us up on the Facebook page. Mm-hmm. You can also check out stuff we're putting up on YouTube. We've got an Instagram and a Twitter, so you can check those out. Eric posts a lot of pictures on the Instagram one. You can also find us at Patreon.com/IndieInvasion if you decide you would like to assert, to support us so we can buy our new headphones. that's our goal in life, is a new set of headphones. But you can also find us on all of your regular podcast platforms, which I usually ramble through. But last night, Eric and I were talking, and we ramble through the Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, all of that stuff that we normally go through. Well, we decided we would take a look on Google. And apparently, there are a lot of other podcasting platforms we didn't know about. So today, you can find us on Listen Notes. You can find us on Podbay, Owltail, PodTopN, that we didn't even know those existed. We didn't even know we were there, but apparently we are. So you can find us in those places as well. And the biggest thing you can do is tell a friend about the show, spread the love. And if you are listening and you don't follow us on Podbean, go ahead and follow us so that we know you're out there listening. And you'll also get updates when we post new content. We are very regularly posting a lot of new story content. If you know of a cool game that could use a little bit of fluff thrown out there that's from an independent developer, let us know. We would love to add that to our repertoire of audio stories that we're doing. And that's all I have.
All right.
That's how you end it. That's how you do it.
Buddy, I think we're going to get out of here, and I want to let everybody know this is Eric. I'm going to say take it easy, and don't forget when you're out there to prepare yourself for the invasion.
That's right. Prepare yourself for invasion.
See you later, guys.
Bye, guys.
I'm getting all up on my mic.
There you go. I tell the people that sing at our church all the time when I'm doing the sound, I'm like, you need to act like you are eating that microphone. Get closer. I'm almost touching it. Touch it then.
It don't stink that bad.
They got their own microphones anyway, man. They don't have to use the same ones. I did used to. This one will no doubt make it into the cuts, into the outtakes, is when we were playing more actively in my band. Our singer and rhythm guitar player, it's a girl, friend of mine for a really long time. And those four or five songs that I sing in the band, you know, stuff like Bad to the Bone, Hot Rod Lincoln, stuff like that. Sometimes I'd have to use her microphone. Well, I would always end up getting makeup on my face because because singing so long and singing semi-professionally, she knew get up on your microphone
you know, that's especially funny. When playing live. So she would, and it would get makeup on the microphone, and then I would come over. And of course, she kind of taught me the little that I know about singing. So I knew to get up on the microphone and I'd be like, I can taste the makeup.
Oh, man.
It's because the first ones are the letters from Alephangus Plage, which is the new leader that's coming out. Are you taking the cellophane off?
I don't know. Maybe I will during recording.
Ooh. But his is the first one, and it's letters to Brother Busara. We can't smell it. It's all wrapped up.
Oh, there's a nice split there. I can't smell it. I got to open it. I don't want to smell it.
All right. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Oh, let me close my shiny brand new book. Wait, one last smell.
One last smell.
Oh, there's something about a brand new book that just smells so good. I don't know. You made me break the seal, though.
Hey, man. You needed to. It was past time.
I mean, I was reading all the rules just from the download that I downloaded.
That is like shameful. Well,
I don't have any of the fluff, really.
Shameful, shameful, shameful.
But